summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine only presence to clear and to guard, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing
sing that verse again.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine only presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All
so this next hymn, in some respects, is a response to the faithfulness of God. It's, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Let's sing the first verse again.
Once again, as in the past weeks, the Lord is calling us to Himself. The Lord says, I will speak to each and every single one of you. I will call you into my heart. I will call you into me. I do not call you to stand beside me or stand around me, but I call you to stand within me. I call your heart to my heart that you would be changed. The offer that I have placed before you has not changed from last week to this week. I call you into me that I may breathe my breath of life on you, that you may walk in the things that I have called you to walk in, that you will minister to those that you come in contact with, that my kingdom would move forward in the way that I would have it move forward. I call you once again into my heart. That in my presence, you would be changed.
Face to face.
Thank you. So what I felt the Lord was telling me this morning was, as we praise, as we give him worship, that if we have someone or a place in mind that we've been promised, that if we praise and we worship with that in mind, that he'll be winning that person, that place, that thing for us.
Just like to just add a little just to that real quick. And I feel like that. He said person, place, earth. I just want to say the destiny that God has before you. All of the promises of God, that which he has spoken to you, what he declared to you, it is yes and amen. And the call is to worship him in that place. And let's face it, he's the one that accomplishes it, right? He's the one that gets it done. And so as we worship, he will accomplish.
Amen. And I just want to tag on to what Keith shared. As far as pressing in, because I think sometimes you hear the prophetic word, you get the prophetic word, you believe the prophetic word, but you still don't 100% understand how to press into it. And this was something I received this week, and I actually sent it to somebody. It says, Jesus provided the example that we are to follow. First, ask. To ask is to spend time deepening your relationship with God so that you can hear his instruction. Obviously, if you don't spend any time with him, you're kind of not going to know what he's saying. As you hear his voice, the answer will be given to you. I mean, he promises us that over and over. Next, you are to seek him. This is about ask, seek, and knock, okay? God loves for you to explore his word in the Bible or other works that glorify him. He promises that as you seek him, you will find him. I've been encouraging some of the people in our group that God keeps calling up and saying to go higher. You know, what does that look like? What does that mean? When you're in the word, when you get that word, go deeper. Get another translation. Get another translation. Get another translation. Look at it in the Hebrew. Look at it in the dictionary. Write it down. Write it down and keep going after it. And finally, you are to knock. Okay? Asking, seeking, now we're knocking. Knocking is different from asking. Knocking infers that you want deeper things. If you're like, God, I want this, give it to me, and he gives it to you and you're satisfied, that's all good. But that's not deep calling unto deep and the waterfall crashing over you. That if you're ready for that, if you're hungry for something you don't even know what it is right now, knocking infers that you want the deeper things, something that still needs to be acquired. It could be knowledge, wisdom, or to help you realize a huge dream. Knock. Your destiny is just behind the door. God seems to be, remember when you used to play the record and it got stuck? Those of you that remember LPs, and they're coming back. Your destiny is just behind the door. And remember, this is the year of the open door, guys, double doors. And he wants to open it for you. Amen.
I guess I want to just note that there's a persistence in every one of the steps that Diane put out there. In the scripture, it's ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Let me just say very quickly that God is faithful. We sang of that today. He is faithful, and he is looking to see us pursue him faithfully. He is looking to us to keep on asking and seeking and knocking. It's not because it satisfies his arrogant need for us to seek him. It's because it satisfies his loving need for us to grow and become like him. He desires us to become faithful, Because when we're faithful, He can give us more. When we persist, when we go after that which doesn't seem possible despite the fact that He said it, He loves that because it's growing us. It's accomplishing in us His purposes and through us His purposes.
Dave has something he'd like to share.
Keith said to me, "Do you want to share that?" I said, "No, but you can." When Mason and then George and then Diane started speaking to us, I felt something about sunrise, and I was like, what does that have to do with anything? And this is what it is. Do you believe that the sun will rise tomorrow? Everybody? Anybody not believe it? Okay. How much do you believe that it's going to rise tomorrow? Enough that you planned something for tomorrow? That you said, I'll put this off till tomorrow? I'm going to go to Keith and Diane's for dinner tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. You guys didn't know that, did you? Right? We plan based on our beliefs. We live according to the belief that tomorrow is coming. Yeah, we'll all say, oh, Jesus could come at midnight and we'll go home with Him instead. Sure. But I plan things for tomorrow based on my belief that tomorrow will come, right? Do you walk that way in your spiritual life? Do you believe that God gave promises to you, that He's prophesied over you? Then have you planned on it, and have you taken steps towards what you tell me you believe? And I believe that's what God's calling us to is. It's easy for me to stand here and say, I believe that, you know, God has a purpose for my life. Great. Good for you. Have I lived my life as though I believe that? Does that make sense?
I just want to say, hear the word of the Lord. That's what I just want to say. Right? Hear the word of the Lord. The question that God is asking you, it's in my sermon notes, Dave, so thanks a lot. The question is, I'll read it the way that it's in my notes. We'll get there eventually, but maybe, yeah, who knows. How do you want to be while you expectantly wait for God's predetermined outcome in your life? How do you want to have lived as the owner of a promise not yet fulfilled? How do you want to be while you expectantly wait for Him to accomplish the things that will get accomplished in your life? How do you want to live? Are you living like tomorrow is going to have a sunrise? Or are you living like there might not be one? Will there be a sunrise tomorrow? I'm asking a question for you. Will He rise in your life according to His word and His predetermined will for you? Will that occur? Will it? How do you want to live between now and then? Expecting, knocking and seeking. How do you want to, what is the heart of you going to look like while you're living in that season in between? How is it going to look? What's it going to look like? Can I tell you what it's going to look like? It's going to look like you're full of faith. That's what it's going to look like. It's going to look like you're determined to believe. Like you're going to get everything out of the period in between the promise and its fulfillment. That's what it's going to look like. Can you agree with that? Say amen then. Say, that's how it's going to look in my life. Amen. We're going to sing a song here called We Believe.
Secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love. You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love.
Top again. You reveal
your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. We believe in your Son and the power of the cross. We believe in your blood and what it did for us. We believe in your kingdom. Your kingdom has come. Here on earth, will of God be done. We will ascend your holy mountain. We will stand in your presence. Speak to the wind. Eyes have not seen what you have. For us, Lord, ears have not heard what you have for those who believe.
Heaven's mercy, see.
praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. In rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Praise and all worship and all adoration. You are everything to us. We adore you. We worship you. We choose you above all else. We choose to see and know by you. We choose to see and know you. We choose to have your reality be ours. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you. We worship you. We worship you with our hearts, but we worship you with our lives. We worship you with all and everything that we are. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy are you, O God, and worthy of all worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Consecrate ourselves afresh this day to you, our God. We set ourselves apart to you, even as you have set us apart to yourself. We agree with your consecration and your sanctification and your choosing. We agree with you. And we love you, oh God. I'm grateful to the Lord for his faithfulness and his goodness, aren't you? You know what I'm going to have you do right now? Is I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'd like you just to open yourself right now. Lord, I just pray that you would reveal us yourself again to us, even in this very moment. Show us your goodness. Show us your glory. We just put ourselves, prepare ourselves right now to receive an understanding of your goodness. You are good. You are always good. Every moment you are good to us. You are the Heavenly Father through whom every good and perfect gift comes. And we just receive. We open ourselves to receive, even right now, a revelation of who you are, of your goodness, of your majesty, of your splendor, of your righteousness. We breathe in and breathe you in. Lord, thank you that you meet us. I just release you, Holy Spirit, to meet each one of us in exactly the location where we need you the most right now. Thank you that you are both the most majestic and awesome and great God and also the helper. We receive from you right now revelation of Father. Father says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have set my affection on you. You are the one that I have loved always. I have never stopped loving you. You are my chosen. You are my precious. I hold you in my arms with amazement at your preciousness. I'm amazed at how delightful you are. I built you, I created you, I did a good job, says your Father. And I love you, I love you. You're precious to me.
I have wonderful things for you. I'm not ready to be done giving to you, says your father. I have many gifts that I love to give to you. I have much that I just desire to put into you. You're so valuable to me that I just love to give to you. I have such a good time giving you presents, giving you good gifts, says your father, says your daddy, looking down at his baby in his arms. He says, I love you, and I have so much I desire to give you. I'm going to give you just as much as I can every day. Will you receive from me? Thank you, Father. You're good to us. We believe you. We believe you. We believe you. Guys, a couple of words or requests for prayer. In the bulletin, let me remind you, February 4th, that's next Sunday after church, we'll have our annual business meeting. Anyone that is committed here, is welcome to come to the annual business meeting. A couple of prayer targets. A food pantry this coming Thursday. Do be in prayer for the whole operation. Mom and Dad, as most of you are aware now, have not been feeling well for... depends on who you're looking at most of this week. And Dad actually talked to him this morning. He felt like he was getting better. He felt like he had come up another step, which is a good thing to hear. And Mom wasn't sure. So you can be in prayer for them. We're going to get back to that one in just a moment. Sherry Winslow has some... issues in her throat, and they're not even exactly sure. She's going to see a specialist this week, I guess. But he's taken her off from singing for a while, which I think is, you know, it's like punishment for Sherry. You know, that's not acceptable lifestyle for her. So that's another area of health. And Andrea Bortle is going to be having surgery in the middle of next month. And I spent some time praying for her, and I would love to see whole health for her. If it means we have to go through surgery, all right. But I wouldn't mind seeing it even before surgery. So that's my heart. Let me tell you another piece. I want to just corporately pray for those requests, but I also feel, and if you would agree with me, I would appreciate it. I feel like we should address a relatively significant onslaught of disease in our region. I happen to know that our hospitals are beyond capacity. They do that every once in a while, but they're really pinned at excess occupancy, like 125% type occupancy. And so then I understand that they're even like turning flu sufferers away at the door because they can't deal with having fluish people in this incredible high occupancy. Anyway, I felt like we were supposed to pray just more generically, yes, for our precious ones, you know, in the situations that we have, but more generically than that as well. Lord, I just declare over Mom and Dad, I declare your strength and I declare your wholeness. You, as their healer, are their portion. And we just release that in Jesus' name. We declare wholeness. We declare wholeness. We declare wholeness. You are their strength. You are their life. And you are their healing. We declare it in Jesus' name. Lord, I am grateful to you also for Andrea, and I just declare over her your health. We speak wholeness to her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are great and gracious to her, her daddy who loves her. And I speak wholeness to her intestines in Jesus' name. All throughout her body, I declare wholeness. Be whole in Jesus' name. And Lord, over the Winslow household, I just declare blessing and wholeness in Jesus' name. I speak especially to the vocal cords and just the whole throatish area. I declare wholeness in Jesus' name. Sherry, be in order. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are accomplishing your goodness. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just thank you that you have given to us your power. You have given to us assignments with great responsibility to represent your kingdom in the earth realm. And so we represent right now, we represent health, and we declare wholeness in this region. Wholeness in this region. Lord, I just speak forth wholeness, and I just move the forces of the enemy back. I say, be gone in Jesus' name. And we declare wholeness and health. Beginning at this moment, wholeness and health in this region. We declare in Jesus' name.
We all politely sat here and let George pray. George took a step forward. Who's going forward with George? If you want to go forward with George, sit in your seat right now. If you're not interested, get up and there's the door. Let's move forward. I'm sorry, I was being facetious. I got kind of hot-headed. But let's declare. What has God spoken to you? What has God promised you? He has put you in this place. He has declared this as your region. Take authority. Let's do it right now. Anybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it. I want to hear you doing it. And if we all, guess what? Here's a little trick, because I'm kind of embarrassed to stand up here. I'm kind of getting a little red, you noticed it.
Yeah.
If I start praying for the things that are on my heart out loud, you guys all listen to me. If you're all doing it, then I can do it kind of in my private corner over here and you don't hear it, okay? So work with me. Keith, do you have sons that you want to pray for, and daughters and granddaughters? Let's say their names out. Do you have a region here that you've been called for? Then speak it out. Do you have a president that you didn't pray for this morning that you were supposed to? Then speak it out. Ready? Are you guys ready? Everybody ready? Raise your hand. Okay, we're going to put our hands down on three, and then our mouths are going to start moving. You ready? One, two, three. Lord, I declare your presence in this region. The people that you have put in my heart, come on, speak it out. I want to hear it. Lord, I declare healing for mom and dad. Lord, I see Andrea in the name of Jesus, power of God. You land on Andrea and you heal her in the Winslows, Lord.
I speak wholeness. Believe in you and your word.
I have had several times where the Lord has asked me if that's all I'm going to pray for is healing of the body, because I don't think he wants to stop there.
Amen.
I think that he wants to make us so whole that we can do impossible things with our bodies. I think that he wants to reveal who belongs to him by the way we are able to continue to move even when other people can't. I believe he wants to reveal himself by, you know, other people age. But God's kids don't ever seem to get old. So I want to go after that. I don't want to just do, oh, we're going to be healthy. No, I want God to be glorified even in the way we work and the way we look, the way, you know, yes, our hearts also, I mean, how we reach out. But I don't think that's all he's after.
Lord, we agree with Jocelyn. Can you agree? We agree with Jocelyn that we don't want just the absence of something. We don't want the reversal of some. We want to go beyond that, Lord. We believe that you have called us to represent you. And as such, we should actually be signs and wonders ourselves. We should live as signs and wonders. So we put our faith in you, and we desire the reversal of aging. We desire stronger than normal. Lord, we don't want anything normal. We want something beyond normal. We want you. Wiser than normal, yes. More full of life than normal. Full of joy and peace than normal. Empowered like no one else. Lord, we just ask that you would cause your people here, us, but also your people across this nation, across the globe. We pray that we would all rise up and be signs and wonders and be different. We desire that in Jesus' name. We set our faith to that because that is your desire for us. Amen. Lord, I thank you for the Smiths. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for their service with respect to the food pantry. Lord, we pray that this week that you would grace them and strengthen them. But also, Lord, I pray that this week that there would be a special anointing that would go forward, a special release of your power to save. I declare salvation this week, this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Release your salvation in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I have a letter here from Suzanne Ferraro. The mobile team's going to head to D.C. Tuesday through Friday of this week. And I haven't had a chance to really read the whole letter, but a couple of highlighted elements. Pray for President Trump as forces at work to destroy him try to take the government over by force. Lord, we just come against this vile attack, and we release the strength and the protection of God. Lord, we thank you that you have a greater purpose than the enemies, your enemies, can even imagine. And so we release and declare your kingdom come, your will be done in this week, in our government and in this land. Have your way, we pray. We don't claim to understand everything, Lord, but we do claim that you are God and that we want what you have for our world and our nation. So we declare that in Jesus' name. I feel like I'm full today, and I don't even know how to release the word that I have to give to you today, and be honest with you. So you're going to have to forgive me as I just feel a little over full. And I don't have a path. I had a path, and I don't have a so we're just going to walk it through, okay? One of the ways that the Lord instructed his disciples was in a prayer. And we've all heard it prayed a billion times, such that it almost doesn't mean anything anymore. You know what I mean? The Lord's Prayer. One of the lines that I want to highlight, that the Lord really highlighted to me over the course of this last week, is the phrase, as in heaven, so on earth. And that is a subjunctive phrase that modifies the previous phrase, which says, your will be done. So let me just say that our expectation, David, is that as it is in heaven, which is essentially his will, it ought to be that way on earth. It should be our prayer that which is going on there would be realized here. If you read the verse just before the Lord's Prayer, this is in Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't repeat things over and over again and be stupid like the heathen do. Your Father already knows what you need and what you're going to ask before you, so don't do that. That's what it says. Isn't that funny that he says that right before the prayer that everybody just repeats like the heathen do? Isn't that hilarious? I find it, you know, slightly obnoxious. But he says, don't worry about asking too much. He already knows. Okay, yeah, so I'm not saying don't ask. Do ask, okay? But don't... What he says is, and then if you read the rest of the prayer, the rest of the prayer says, as in heaven, so on earth. Okay, that's really what the rest of the prayer says. Give us this day our daily bread, yes. Check, okay? All the stuff we need, God, you know about that. Pretty sure our daily bread is more than just bread, but you know, you get it. Give us all that we need. But the rest is, your kingdom come. And we're going to be just like you here on earth, and then have here on earth look just like heaven. But what does heaven look like? Somebody quickly throw out some thoughts, quick. What's heaven? What's heaven like? Peace, joy, worship. Keep going.
No more sin.
Not here. Okay, I like it.
No more sin.
No more sin. Let's go on the no more thing. What's there no more? No more sickness. No more death. No more sadness. No more darkness. No more fear. No more politicians. No more shame. No more shame. I'm going to quickly go to Revelations chapter 21. I encourage you to do the same. Revelation chapter 21 talks about the new heaven and the new earth, okay? And something comes down out of heaven. It is the city, the New Jerusalem. It is an eternal thing that comes out of the heavenlies, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? This is an eternal thing. And I heard a loud voice, verse 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. That's what heaven looks like. Just FYI, it's where God is and where His release of His all of Him is unimpeded. Okay, you go forward and you see they don't need a light there because His light's everywhere. You look at it and many of the things are made out of stuff that's clear, crystal clear like glass, so that the light goes through and it's shined all around. Okay. And lightness is just everywhere. Verse 4, and He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. Those first things have passed away. Behold, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the life, water of life without cost. It goes on, verse 11, her brilliance, this is the Jerusalem,
come down out of heaven from God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper.
There's many, many things I want to say. There's real wonder about whether the word jasper actually could be diamond, okay, because of how it's described, regardless. I want to say that our prayer should be, as in heaven, so on earth. Our expectation should be, as in heaven, so on earth. That's what we're expecting. That's what we're thinking about. That's what we're praying. That's, in fact, what we're promised.
Is it because 50,001 times of that being repeated, then it can happen? Are we holding God back in that we don't pray that? Or is it to get us to focus on heaven instead of...
I do follow your question, okay? And this is where I feel like I have so many things I want to say, okay? But let me just tell you something. You are going to come into complete coherence, okay? Coherence means that the waves go at exactly the same time, okay? Two waves are coherent when they go up and down just exactly at the same. You will be coherent with God. Okay? You will be so unified that every time he's about to go up, you're about to go up. And every time he's about to wave in this way, you'll wave. Now, that is going to happen. That is, in fact, an eternal truth. Let me walk you through this, and then I'm going to get back to your question, okay? Verse 12, it has a great high wall, 12 gates, and at the gate, 12 angels, okay? And you know, sometimes you can read through this kind of stuff and it just goes blah, 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 by, and you're just like, what in the world does that have to do with it? Why do I even care, right? But let me just say that there's 12 gates, and the number 12 is a governmental understanding. And so there's 12 aspects of government, and these gates have to do with commerce, i.e. going in and coming out, mostly just going in, actually. Who would want to go out anyway, right? It has a great and high wall, 12 gates, and the gates, 12 messengers. And names are written on them. Names. What's a name? A Hebrew name? What's a name? It's a nature. It's a reality. It's a characteristic. It's a nature. Okay? So the names, 12 names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Okay, so what we have here isn't just, you know, some nice, you know, Dan and Asher and Judah and Ephraim or whatever, Levi, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's not that. It's 12 destinies. 12 destinies. And it has to do with government. And we're going to see that its glory comes in through these destinies. We'll watch as we go forward. There are 3 gates of the east, 3 north, 3 south, 3 west. And the wall on the city had 12 foundation stones. Okay, let's look at this. 12 foundation stones. And on them were 12 names of the 12 apostles. Again, destinies. Okay? You look at these 12 guys, and we don't know that much about them for sure. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus called them to himself, and he sent them out to accomplish things, and he had destinies over them. And there's something complete about the destinies over them. I don't fully understand it, but I'll tell you it's true anyway. The city is laid out as a square, actually cubic, if you look at what it says. 18, the material of the wall was jasper, pure gold like clear glass. Does that even make sense? Jasper is like reddish color, and gold is gold, and it's clear. Well, it's a little different. I think the guy was struggling to completely explain in words that we could understand. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Anybody know what a pearl is like? What's a pearl like? It's white. It's beautiful. It's shimmering. It's typically centered on an impurity, and beautified and made holy. Understood? So each of those 12 gates that we talked about before is a pearl. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street was pure gold, like transparent glass. No temple in it, for the Lord, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Remember, verse 24, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Kings of the earth, who are we talking about anyway? Anybody know? Nebuchadnezzar? I kind of doubt it. I'm going to tell you who I believe the kings of the earth are. We are kings and priests to our God. It's clear if you read down, nobody whose name is nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination or lying shall ever come into it, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so if you look at who it is that's actually coming in, it's you, the kings of the earth. Sorry. Kings and priests to our God, bringing glory into that heavenly city that has come down. Now, I want to talk to you very quickly. I want you to understand that this city, this Jerusalem, is an eternal thing. It's not a temporal thing. By the time we get here, somebody give me a Bible real quick. I want to check and see what I want to say. How many chapters left after this one? Just one? I thought so. By the time we get to this picture right here, space-time is gone kaput. Okay? Sorry about that. Space-time isn't. This thing is. The reason I want you to understand that is this. We have an eternal city whose gates are already made out of pearl and whose walls already have names, i.e. destinies, written all over them. And the gates through which you and I will commerce, bringing the glory in, those things are already labeled. Okay? There is something eternal that we're going to get to. Now, you don't understand just exactly where you're going to go. And you only vaguely get the notions of this eternal city to which you are headed and into which you will enter with glory. You don't understand it. That's okay. But you're going there, and it's predetermined. The labels over the doors are already labeled. Okay? It's there. God has purposes for David, and he's going to get you there. And you know what? By and large, Dave, just to let you know, he's going to do it. It's hardly going to be really much your fault. Okay? He's going to do the thing. See, he's predetermined some things about how your eternity is going to look. He's already decided on some stuff. He declares these things prophetically over you sometimes. Sometimes he just stirs it right into the middle of who you are, and you know who you are called to be, right? Always, he puts his Spirit on you, and his Spirit has that truth within him and will lead you into all truth if you'll just let him, right? In a sense, I want you to understand that your end point is predetermined. It's good news. But I'm going to tell you another thing. You get to decide what you look like on the way. You can ask and seek and knock. You can worship. You can be full of expectation or not. In a sense, you get a choice. In space-time, we have free will, right? God's predetermined some things in the end.
I want you to hear me because there's a lot to say. So I'm going to take you through some stories very quickly. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, you guys know the story, tries to, you know, give God some good outs. First, it's the slave in his house. You know, let him live before. No, it's going to be somebody out of your own body. Yep. So then he works the Ishmael fiasco. No, it's going to be somebody out of your body and Sarah's body. Right? Right? Got it? Right? And in the process, God is speaking into Abraham. This man will not be here, but the one who comes forth from your body. Look to the heavens and count the stars. So shall your descendants be. That's with Eliezer of Damascus, okay? Down with Hagar. As for Sarah, your wife, don't call her Sarah. I call her Sarah. I'll bless her. I'll give you a son by her, this 90-year-old woman. And then I'll bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations, and kings of peoples shall come from her. Oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Oh, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants. And I'll multiply him exceedingly, become a great nation with 12 princes, right? Oh, that was Ishmael. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at the season next year. I'm going to do this thing. Your end is predetermined. I will do something. Now take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Go to the land of Moriah. I'll offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains that I choose for you. Okay, so here we are. Here's a predetermined end, and here's apparently a good way to stop that predetermined end, right? I'm going to have you kill, sacrifice your son. If we quickly run forward, you guys know the story. He doesn't kill him. He's about to, and he's stopped by a messenger, an angel. In the midst of this, he prophesies about Jesus. God will provide for himself the lamb. Because of this, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, that because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. You ever notice how even in Germany of the middle of last century, the Jews owned the gates of their enemies? Did you notice that? You ever notice that? I wonder if maybe God's word has a predetermined outcome. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. So now, we fast forward to Hebrews, and it says that by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he whom it was said, of whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he would also receive him back as a type. In other words, he did kill him, and he received him back to life. But if he had killed him or if he had not killed him, it didn't matter, because God was able to raise him up. God was going to do the predetermined outcome. Now, I have a question for you about your predetermined outcomes. How faithful, how full of sureness, that if it dies right in front of you in bloody gore, that God will resurrect that thing. He will accomplish his predetermined outcome. How sure are you? How ask, and how seek, and how knock, and how sure are you that you're going to see that thing which God has said over you? I'm asking, because that's called faith. And you get, that's, if you actually... It was after Eliezer thing. Look up at the stars. You'll be able to count, if you're able to count them, that'll be that, like that. So shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. You see, God gives us these opportunities. Even like putting our destinies at risk, quote unquote, okay? It is there at the point of risk. There's no risk. There's really no risk, just to let you know.
I'm going to reveal the plot before we even get there. Uh-oh. Spoiler alert. God's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to accomplish in you what he says he's going to accomplish in you. He's going to get you there.
It's not just getting there, because he's going to do that. It's how you get there. You have some input into that. Okay? You have some input into that. Another couple quick stories. David. David's anointed. He's anointed as king. And it says in the scriptures that the Spirit of God comes mightily upon him. And then the next thing you see David doing is playing music, because the Spirit of God comes on David and goes away from Saul. And so Saul is harassed and oppressed by demonic junk. And when David comes and plays, the demons have to go. But David was operating under the Holy Spirit. And he learned about God and God's ways. Let me just tell you something about God and God's ways. You can know him. Let me tell you something else about God and God's ways. You are destined to know him. Let me tell you another thing about God and God's ways. The more you know him, the more you're capable of. You see, David did not, at least as far as we know, have a prophecy that said there's going to be this really tall guy and you're going to knock him down and then you'll be king after a long time. He did not have that. He did have the prophecy, the anointing. Did you know that David couldn't die unless God was going to raise him up with respect to Goliath, right? Because God had said he's going to be king, right? So David didn't have a choice of dying. Or if he did manage to get himself killed, he'd have had to been resurrected. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The outcome was predetermined. But in the middle of it, David had great confidence. Do you know how many children, young men, the Philistines killed? Philistines shorter than Goliath killed? Many, okay? There wasn't like, oh, you know, he's just a boy. Don't you know? No, they slaughtered. Okay, that's just, you know. Keep the girls, slaughter the boys. You understand the game. Goliath, I'm pretty sure, had, you know, practice slaughtering young men David's age. But David, let me just say, couldn't die. Okay? Maybe he could die and be raised up. Either way, he couldn't die. Want to know why? Because the end was predetermined. You know, when you know your predetermined end, you have confidence. Even in the face of ridiculous coming back against you. Yeah, when Jesus said, my time has not yet come, and then he passes through the middle of them. Well, guess what? They didn't understand the dynamics of that, but he wasn't ready to die just then. Oh, he was going to die, but it was in a time and location that was appropriate. Here's the reality. When you know either clear prophetic word, or even just when the Spirit of God is upon you, that's what David had. So he had the Spirit of God on him. And the Spirit of God had destinies. Now, David was going to be king, and so he couldn't die. But also, David had within him a gut that said, if you read through the scriptures there, he gets all offended at, let me just go and read it real quick. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? So he's offended at this reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should taunt the armies of the living God? You see, fast forward, David's about to, you know, in several decades, is going to go and absolutely demolish these armies that are taunting Israel. Now, yes, he did begin the process, you know, in the same battle as Goliath was there. He didn't just kill Goliath, but they rushed ahead and killed a whole bunch of them.
But David's main career objective, we're going to put down all of the military pressures that were all around him. And he had within him a sense of this taunting of the armies of Israel is wrong. Something's wrong with this. It's inconsistent with who I am and who I'm called to be. Do you see? He should have been offended about that, okay? Because it's against the Word of God and the Spirit of God that is within him. The strength against that. He came with great strength, not just against Goliath, but against all of Philistia. Because inside of him, there was something, a kingdom, the Spirit of God, that said, no, these things aren't all right. That's not right. That's a quick story. You can go and look at it. It's a very interesting story. Yeah.
Whose position was delaying David's promise. Right?
That's correct.
Follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because he followed, I mean, you go with it, but do you see
that? Because the Spirit of God was upon him and he had rights and wrongs and he was going to do it the right way. That's how it was going to get done.
He didn't want to put himself, take it on myself to get myself there.
Right.
He said, you said I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. I'm not touching my king.
Right.
It's not because he was worried about cutting somebody's head off, because he did that.
He's pretty happy about doing stuff like that. The reality is that David had a destiny, and he began to live and be motivated by that destiny decades before he was going to fully operate in that destiny. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But the outcome was predetermined. He had a decision to make how he was going to live in the middle of it. And he had lots of hard decisions to make, okay? He had hard... Does anybody remember how many years it was? I mean, the kid's pretty young when he gets anointed. And I can't remember, but it feels like he's 40 or something like that, maybe 50, before he actually becomes king. But in the meantime, he has to decide how to live with the promise. That's where you are today. Your outcome is predetermined. God's going to get you there by His strength, by His right arm. He will get you there. Now the question is, what are you going to do in the meantime? And how will He get you there? Another guy was Joseph. The outcome was predetermined. Right? I'd like you to really focus on this one really quick. So the outcome was he was going to be in leadership over his family, even over his mother and his father and over his brothers, right? And we go through an awful lot of hell to get there. Am I right? Okay? But the outcome was predetermined. And by and large, as far as we can tell, his attitude was really good in the midst of it. And God used his good attitude to accomplish great things for him and through him all around him, right? In fact, God used his good attitude to accomplish more than just that. So here you have Joseph, who gets sold into slavery by his brothers, who maintains a godly attitude, won't take the temptation of Potiphar's wife, gets busted for that, sent to jail, despite the fact that he was doing what was best for Potiphar. I mean, Potiphar's wife was a gaming chick there. But he was righteous. But now let's stop looking at Joseph. Let's zoom out. Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, God prophesied, spoke to Abraham and said, your descendants, I'm going to call them out of Egypt. I'm going to put them down there for a few hundred years. I think it was Abraham that he said that to. And he says, but then I'm going to bring them up. And did he do that? The outcome was predetermined, and Joseph played a good role in that. You see, there was a famine coming. Joseph understood this at the end of, end of the story. There was a famine coming, and God used Joseph to take care of the family during the famine session. But he also used that situation to get them down there and where they became slaves, right?
but he used them being slaves to loot the most wealthy kingdom on the planet at the time and took them out of there with great wealth. Because God had promised something to Abraham. You see, the outcome is predetermined. The question is, what are you going to do in the middle of it? Are you going to be the one that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in the midst of the difficulty? Or are you just going to wait till the New Jerusalem gets here? Because I'm going to tell you something. We are the kings that bring glory into those gates. We're the ones. And what's glory? It's His glory. He did it. He accomplished it. But we believed. We had faith. And we walked with Him. There's many stories that I could go through. But let me try to just bring this home very quickly. Here you are at this point in time, okay? Here you are at that point in eternity. Okay, this is fixed. It's God's going to get a thing done. But how you get there and what you bring when you get there is yet to be determined by you. You choose. You can have confidence in Father's goodness and majesty and sovereignty. You can have confidence in that. In fact, I would have to say, you don't have to have confidence. But let me adjure you. Let me say you must have confidence in God's goodness and sovereignty and majesty. Let me say you must. I want you to. He wants you to. David said this, Psalm 27, verse 13, I would have despaired. Okay, so that's option A is despair. Anybody want option A? Okay. I would have despaired unless, okay, so there's only two options now. Okay. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I'm going to just tell you something. You have two options. Despair, or believe that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yes, because I want to tell you that there's an eternity, but there's also something going on in the land of the living. And in the land of the living, you get to determine what kind of glory you bring through those gates, O kings of the earth. I'm going to tell you another secret. Ready for another secret? You can find this one in Psalm 31, verse 19. Here's the secret. How great is your goodness? We're talking about God. How great is your goodness which you have stored up? Do you know that God has stored up goodness? It's not just that He is good. And He has this like infinite goodness. But He's taken advantage of the fact that He's got this infinite goodness and He's stored some up for you. Okay? How great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Before the sons of men says, in this life, while you're walking around doing whatever it is, being oppressed by people. Being, you know, in the middle of circumstances that aren't comfortable. That's what before the sons of men means, okay? How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Here's the truth. There is tremendous, tremendous goodness available to you. There's certain things that are predetermined. He's going to get those things done. If he has to, you know, on your deathbed or in the last, you know, nanosecond between, you know, this life and you're done, if he has to do some great things for you, he'll do it because he'll accomplish some good things for you. That's just how he is. But he also has given you opportunity in time to believe, not despair, but to believe in his goodness and expect his goodness in the land of the living. And to believe that he has this great store of stuff out of his infinite reserves. He's stored some stuff up for you. It's not just that he's stored it up just in general. It's not that he's got a reservoir that he might let you have some of. It says, how great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you. Specifically, I'm just going to say to you that you must have confidence in Father's goodness and majesty and sovereignty. And you must have expectation in this time because you're answering every day this question, how do you want to be while you wait expectantly for Father's predetermined outcome in your life? How do you want to be? And what do you want to acquire? And how do you want to see, as in heaven, so on earth?
Story that maybe I can share that ties some of this together. When we were singing the song We Believe, that's written by Brian Johnson, I think, published, 2004. And that came out of Bethel Church in Reading. And I actually was up in Bethel Church about that time at a youth conference, I think with Matt and Brittany Bay, if you guys remember them. And we were waiting in line to get into the conference. And there was a teenager in line who said he had gotten healed from dyslexia. And dyslexia has no cure. And I was thinking, man, I wonder who prayed for this guy. Must have been Bill Johnson, you know? That's a pretty tough disease to get rid of. So I asked him, I said, who prayed for you? Who laid hands on you? How'd you get cured of this? And he said, nobody prayed for me. And I said, well, what happened? He said, I heard a message by Bill Johnson when he preached about the Lord's Prayer, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And he's like, you know, as a Christian, I know there's no dyslexia in heaven. And I asked God, you know, God, do you want me to have dyslexia? And he's like, I felt like God said, you know, that doesn't belong to you. And I said, well, what did you do? And he said, every day when I got up, I said, I don't have dyslexia. And he's like, I didn't say it to keep asking God or not kept repeating it to remind God. I said I had to remind myself. I had to convince myself to believe about me what God believed about me. And he said I did this every morning. I'd wake up and I'd look in the mirror and say, you don't have dyslexia. And he said, about the time, and I don't know how long it took, but he made it sound like it took a couple of weeks of this. You know, every morning he'd get up and say it. And I had talked to him, you know, for a few minutes, and he was failing in school because of it. He was a teenager. And it was really affecting his whole life. He had it severely. And he had the expectation that this was going to affect him his whole life. But he said he'd wake up every morning and say that, I don't have dyslexia. And he said that until he lost faith in the dyslexia. And then he said he woke up one day and he realized that he had lost faith in that which he had believed he had. And then he was cured. And he woke up and he could see clearly and could, at that point when I met him, it was like a year later, and he continued to see clearly. So I was just reminded of that when that song came up, because it had really stuck with me. But that was like, I don't know, 12, 14 years ago but I just was reminded of that so clearly. And just felt like it tied into all of this. And I feel like that's also a testimony that's for someone here specifically. And I don't know who that is, but I just think that you can grab onto that. But I think all of us can grab onto that, you know, as a way to walk out of this, and ties in with Diane said, you know, knocking and keep knocking and seeking and keep seeking. But what do you believe? And you have these situations in your life, and have you even come before God and asked him, you know, does that belong to me? Should I be holding on to this, or should I be no longer believing in it, or changing the way I think or believe in it? You know, we often go back to Jesus' message, which was repent. You know, change the way you think, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And we know, looking at the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, he was calling us to pull down that kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So what are those obstacles in your life? What are those sicknesses, those diseases, those things that are incurable in this life that God says those don't belong to you? And will you go after it long enough and hard enough until you can change the way you think about it, so much so that you lose faith in it and acquire faith in God's plan for you and your life? And that's the take home. That's the message that I would encourage you to hold on to and remember from this day. That God has a plan for you over here, and maybe you're over here. But who will you believe? What will you believe? And then what will you do about it?
You know, a couple weeks ago, Dad asked us to just simply spend a few moments receiving what it is that we're going to believe, right? And I want to maybe make a slight distinction. There are eternal things that God's just simply going to do for you. But there are also things that he's going to do for you in time, and he desires to do for you in time. And the question is, what are we going to believe? And are we going to believe what we see or what we have heard? Are we going to believe what is evident, dyslexia? Or are we going to believe what God has spoken? And let me just tell you something. David didn't go down to Egypt to rule there. And Joseph didn't kill the Philistines. Okay? Abraham didn't sacrifice Solomon. Okay? But every one of them knew who they were called to be. And so do you. And there are things about you that you know God has called you to live. If not, then ask God, like he says. Is it in heaven like this, God? Is this where I'm supposed to be? David asked the question earlier. Why do we pray, as in heaven, so on earth? Why do we pray that? Is it for God's sake? Does, you know, God need that in order to make it happen? The truth is that we need to pray that. Ask, seek, knock. Be asking, seeking, and knocking. We need to pray that in order to get in coherence with his perspective. As in heaven, so on earth. Do you see, we have and ought to have an incredible expectation of the goodness of God. We ought to know a little something about what's in heaven before you even pray that prayer, right? As in heaven, so on earth. We ought to be expecting something different than what is on earth, right? In fact, we should be expecting that what we see is going to change. Like the dyslexic guy. I was dyslexic when I was young. Saw and was were, you know, hard to figure out which one was which. I'm glad that God healed me of that. What are you going to do with your life while you wait to see the final outcomes? Are you going to say, as in heaven, so on earth? Or are you going to say, good thing God's got that final thing all fixed up, because I don't know what I'm going to do? Are you going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living? or are you going to despair? Which is it going to be? Because those are the options. We believe. We believe. You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. We believe in your Son. We believe in the power of your cross. We believe in your blood, what it did for us. We believe in your kingdom. Your kingdom has come. Heaven on earth is ours to have. But you know, you don't get heaven on earth by not coming into coherence with God. You don't do that. That doesn't happen. Here on earth, will of God be done. We'll ascend your holy mountain. We'll stand in your presence and speak to the wind. Eyes have not seen what you have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what you have for those who believe. I adjure you, you must have confidence in the Father's goodness and majesty and sovereignty. You must have confidence that He will accomplish that in time, not just in eternity. Yes, there's guaranteed outcomes. You get to bring some heaven on earth glory back to heaven with you, O kings of the earth. Have you ever seen any of the Marvel movies? The Marvel movies have essentially gods from other planets, right? Coming into the earth realm. They're lies and a mixture, all sorts. Let me just say this. You are not sourced in this planet. And you are not called to act like you're sourced in this planet. What a ridiculous thing it would be for the Marvel movie if the guy comes to this planet and sits around and crochets. I don't mean that. I'm sorry, Andrea. I just don't think Thor should crochet. Is that all right? You know, we'll let Andrea crochet, okay? Why would you live as mere men? You get to decide how you live. And I would recommend this phrase: as in heaven, so on earth. Amen? Lord, I thank you for your precious ones here. Release your grace and your blessing over them. Lord, I speak a stirring into them. I speak of faith. I speak a confidence into them of your goodness and of your goodness that applies now and in these circumstances of their life. I declare faith and encouragement into them. I speak forth that they are the kings of the earth and they are those who are called to traipse through the dimensions with glory that you have stored up, great things that you have stored up. Your goodness for them, because they fear you, because they desire you, because they love you. I bless them in Jesus' name. Keep them, promote them, empower them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you've been a contributor here at CLF with, let us know who you are. We do have charitable giving receipts available to you. Jocelyn's got them right now. And so if there's anybody that hasn't gotten theirs, see Jocelyn. Lord bless you guys all. Thank you very much for your faithfulness. Continue to pray for my parents, those others, Andrea, also just the general and the area and our nation, okay? And hey, you know what? Expect. Expect that heaven on earth is yours to accomplish. Amen? Lord bless you guys.